Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, it's good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Let me explain. No, there is too much. Let me sum up.
Johnny and the Mothers are playing something at the Savoy in Vermont tonight.
Grandma's gonna kill my brother at the Savoy Theater tonight.
I didn't say that.
No, but I know this grapevine.
Why would I put it there?
Kindness?
Kindness? Kindness? You stole it! He stole it!
We have top men working on it right now.
Who?
Top men.
Hello there, and welcome to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam Eat, New York City, episode number 100 and Backman Elster, coming to you live from Comac, New York, Seaside, New York, and Freehold, New Jersey. It's the Ready to Unload radio show / podcast, talking to New York sports nights. Hi, I'm one of your hosts, Steve Sampietro. It's Friday night, it is 10 p.m., it's time step out, get a little loose, talk a little sport. I don't know what else could happen. Anything. Really, anything could happen. Well, not anything. We're not going to solve any sort of mathematical equation. That's not happening. It's really not anything. We're not going to cure cancer. Not anything. We might. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the program. Let me get this music off before it costs us money. Yes, welcome to the program. I am, as I mentioned, one of your hosts, Steve Sampietro, otherwise known as Sam Pete. Welcome to the podcast. We have a ton to talk to you about tonight, actually to talk with each other about. You're there. You're going to be hopefully a part of it if you're listening, if you've been listening. But it's really, it's just a conversation between Brian and I and, of course, our friend PJ, who's the third man in on the fight. He gets the extra 5 minutes for fighting. Because he's a casual sports fan. Cal and I are nutbags about sports. Hey, PJ's he's a casual guy, the bishop we call him. He's the casual, he's a pop culture guy. He's a casual sports fan. So anyway, it's the three of us. It's a conversation. It's not really, it's no big deal. We got coffee nice, maybe a glass of vino, I don't know, some Entenmann's, a piece of cake. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl. It's in New York, New Jersey. All right, okay. Awesome. And we're going to talk about the Islander season being over. Thank you, Rangers. Good job, everybody. Cal and I froze our couillons off the other night. Literally, my couillons are in the upper deck, section 428 of Yankee Stadium. If you go there in April for the first Yankee game, you'll see my couillons. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Mets being flush with the cash. They got the money now. Are they going to spend it? They're not going to spend it. And a bunch of other stuff. I have a special surprise for the boys. We're going to play a little game in the RTU Fun Load tonight called The First, Feels Like the First Time. Ooh, what could it be? Flintstone. So, welcome to the program. Let's bring in the co-host, the yin to my yang, the
Kel.
Wing Wong, the what? No. It's Brian Calneva, Calpino Caliente. Wing to my bong. Yep. Slow it down. Let's bring it down as we bring him in. Where am I exactly bringing you in from?
The cold.
Like, that expression, we've talked about that expression a million times, and it still cracks me up. Let's bring him in. As if you're coming in on, like Beetlejuice. Like when the guy comes in on the hook and comes across. I'm literally bringing you in, like laundry.
I feel like I have to be outside the room until you finish your intro.
you just hang out outside the door to your basement.
I'm just standing there, and then bring him in, and here I come.
That's it. It sounds so Roman. Bring him in. Let's bring in the co-host. And you just, like, are shackled.
I'm being dragged in.
Bring me Cal. He amuses me. Hi, buddy.
I'm here.
How are your cojones? Cojones.
I don't even know what that is.
It's your gumas y gams.
I still don't know what that is.
Well, that's because you don't have them anymore. Because you froze them off at Yankee Stadium the other
night. Very possible.
It was cold.
It was cold. Not the coldest on record for us at a sporting event.
No.
But cold.
Yes. Nonetheless. We came into tickets at about 3 o'clock of the free variety. So we decided to go to the Stadium Series at Yankee Stadium and see the Islanders and the Rangers. The Rangers, of course, with a 2-1 victory. The Rangers beat the Islanders again tonight. I believe.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
My bad. People might have been
DVRing. Wow, I really... No.
No regard whatsoever.
So we decided this week at work, you know, remember I told you my buddy Lee at work does the great, he did it for us when we were live at Blue Haven, and he was there, he did Bane. He does a great Bane.
Sure, I remember that.
So you'll just hear Bane coming from his desk. You'll just hear, why should we do it that way? You know, whatever. He does it really, really well. And this week, for some reason, we invented a new villain for Gotham City, the Spoiler. And all he does, I think it came out of a conversation about Lee inventing a time machine just to go back in time to spoil movies for people.
That's great.
Like, that's the only thing he does with the time machine. He just goes back in time to spoil things for people.
And he's a villain.
And he's it, right. So we decided, I proffered that this would be the new villain in Gotham City. The Spoiler.
How would the Spoiler sound?
He's, Lee is playing him as like a very sort of, not British, but it's sort of like a very uptight guy, like an uptight nerd kind of, I guess.
Is he uptight or is he like, he's not sophisticated then, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't call him sophisticated. I would call him kind of like the pretentious geek. Like, nah. Like, maybe, like, he's almost playing him like Conan O'Brien's geek. Like when Conan O'Brien does, we will win. We will photon phase you. Like when Conan O'Brien does that.
Yeah. And guess what? At the end, they all die.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it came about because of, he said, I want to go back to night. We were talking about child actors. I'm giving you the whole spiel here. We were talking about child actors. And about, who was it? Somebody was nominated or wasn't nominated. And we got into the Jodie Foster and the Tatum O'Neill and what's her name? Anna Paquin for The Piano. Like all these kids who won Oscars or were nominated. And I said, the only one that ever deserved a nomination, in my opinion, is Haley Joel Osment. Because he was brilliant. I don't care if he was 9, he was brilliant. And Lee said, I wish I could go back to like 1994 and just be like, Bruce Willis is dead. He's dead too. And I was like, really? That's your hope and dream? And that's how he's going to
spoiler
invent a time machine. Right. He's going to invent a time machine just to go back and spoil stuff. For, you know, Darth Vader's his father. Leia's his sister. And he just, like, jumps back in the time machine.
It seems so cruel.
It's really mean. Well, that's why Batman must stop him.
It's very villainous.
And then, of course, we start with his name is the Spoiler. Liam Neeson's Ra's al Ghul. Boiled it for me, too. So that's the new villain in Gotham City. I know somebody who should have a take on this, Cal, I feel like. I feel like he's here, too. I feel like we should bring him in.
Where is he?
Maybe he's outside his door waiting to be brought in to the chamber. You don't have to knock. You can just come in.
He has a key.
Especially when that music's on.
I will always imagine him playing it as he's walking in.
He's the third man in. Bishop. Pop culture. PJ. Here he is. Let's bring him in. Bring him in!
Okay, come in now.
Is anybody going to bring him in?
Can someone go get Bishop?
Gotham paid good money to see this movie.
Not the spoilers that Gotham City needs. It's the spoilers they deserve.
When you watch those movies, do you feel like Gary Oldman is playing Commissioner Gordon, like, just too low-key? Like, he's not even there.
Until the third one, yes.
Spoiler alert! What are you doing tonight?
Low-key performance.
You are ruining everything.
Low-key spoiler alert.
Who do you think you are? These people bought popcorn. They expected to see the movie to the end. Low-key spoiler alert.
I do. I agree with that, Peach. Hi, how are you? Hey, what's up, buddy?
I'm good. I was struggling really hard with the webcam just now. I'm very,
wrestling
know.
With it? Were you wrestling with
yeah.
it?
I got an external webcam, and it's the kind that no matter where you put it, you can't see your own face. I don't know who invented this webcam. There's no way to position
ugly
it
man,
so that it actually
I
points
imagine.
At you without falling off the computer.
What did it do to the computer?
It falls off.
It doesn't have a claw on it?
No. There's no gripping mechanism at all. I think you're supposed to put it on the desktop and point it right up your nose. It's ridiculous.
Did someone sell this on Shark Tank?
Yes.
Is that where this came from?
Man, my daughter loves that show.
As well she should.
Yeah.
My favorite are when they come in and they do their pitch.
Yeah,
but it's so,
exactly.
But it's so hokey and predictable. You know, like they come in pitching a cookie business. So what do you say, sharks? Who wants to get into the cookie business? Or like, who wants to chow down with me?
That's
I know
their,
you're all
that's
looking at
pitch.
My excellent purse when I walk in here, but look, it's not only a purse; it's a seat cushion. How many times do you go to a fancy restaurant with your bag and then you sit on a chair and ouch, my hiney? Well, not anymore.
What do you say, sharks? Who wants to get up out of their chairs?
Exactly. I only need $800,000.
For 1% of my company.
What do you say, sharks? Whose ass hurts? Who's got a sore ass?
I want to see an episode of that where the entire episode is just them going, these ideas stink. No, get out. Next. You? No, that stinks. Get out. They keep throwing money at all these people and all of these completely implausible products.
It sounds like we need to, like, marry Buddy the Cake Boss with this show.
Cake Boss?
So somebody can be...
Yeah, but just so somebody would be like, that's the worst idea I ever heard. Get out of my sight. It has to be just like a ridiculous Italian guy. Just, that's the most ridiculous idea I ever heard. You're not getting your tank or your shark. Get out of my sight. Out.
Well, they should take them
that's
into a special part of that's the stage called like the rejection chamber where that guy's waiting for them.
Get out of my sight. Next.
Next.
That'll be his catchphrase.
You came into right. the shark tank and now you chum.
Get out of my
Nobody
sight.
Nobody needs a light-up iPhone case. Get out.
Did you guys have the get out of my sight for anger from the parents? That was a big one for my mom.
I feel like
I said it to my daughter tonight. Are you kidding?
So that's a yes then, a big affirmative
so that's a
over there.
Yes. Oh, that's
for
deep
out
in
of my
DNA.
Sight?
Get out of my sight. It's so...
Yeah, it's, you're stopping yourself before you say something really bad.
That's severe.
You're saying, remove yourself from the room. Trust me, I'm saving you by doing this.
Right, but it would be so much nicer to say, you should remove yourself from the room, remove yourself from this situation. Like, get out of my sight, to me, the implication was always... The actual visual of me is so sickening, so infuriating to my mother, almost exclusively.
I can't even look at you right now.
I can't even look at you anymore. Get out of my sight, because if my sight contains you any longer, I may vomit. I am
now,
so
did this
angry.
Result, were you trying to sell your mother on some sort of bad product?
That's correct.
Mom, almost, I need $100,000.
What do you say, Mom? Who wants to get down and dirty? Get out of my sight.
Get out of my sight. That's almost exclusively. Well, we've talked about this before. That leads you to the... when your mother was on the phone and you wanted to do something, but you needed an answer immediately. And, of course, I've now discovered with a child that when you are on the phone, you automatically, as you've said before, PJ, become the most important human being in the world.
Yeah. Yes, a magnetic field like, starts. Around.
Just, Wesley, just if I'm on the phone now, Wesley is all of a sudden like, Dad, let's talk about everything that ever happened in the world, ever, today, now, immediately. We have to talk about everything that ever happened. You need to teach me everything. I love the Mets.
And then put the phone down and watch them lose interest in you again.
Yes, what, Wesley? What? Hi.
Wesley, like where are you going?
Right. Where are you going? Why are you looking? Why are you walking out of the room? But when my mother was on the phone and my brother and I really wanted something and we needed an answer, toot sweet, we would write the question out on a piece of paper and then put the check boxes, yes or no, and slide it across the table as if we were making like our final offer. Like we'd slide it slowly across the table. Like, I'm thinking of a number. Just like, slide it across the table, and then my mother would in turn always check no. Always. It didn't matter. Mom, the question could have been, we want to go down to the church and rebuild the pews and stop off at the soup kitchen. No. No.
Who wants to double down on the sacraments, yes or no?
Right. The no check box was always ticked off.
Right.
So, guys, we have a new sponsor for the show tonight.
Is that the surprise?
No, that's not. No, the surprise is in the fun load.
Okay, that is surprising though. That we have a
get
new
out of my sight.
.com
/ Shark Tank.
Is that who's sponsoring us? Get out of my sight.
What did you just tell them about the sponsor? Why did you have to spoil it? People of Gotham deserve a sponsor.
Why is your Batman sort of like a California surfer dude?
I don't know.
That's Kevin Costner doing Batman.
Yeah, that was Keanu Reeves doing Christian Bale.
I'm the Batman. I'm a golf man.
I'm a Pete, you should tell Brian what you're alluding to there. Tell Cal what you're alluding to. It's really great, and then I'll give it to the sponsor.
Well, we have two different angles on Kevin Costner. My angle on Kevin Costner is that he only plays the quiet man pushed too far, the only role he will ever take. And Steve came, but when I told Steve that theory, he came back with the knack of Kevin Costner characters to name what they are. And they're always the something man.
Right. I'm a G-man.
I'm a G-man.
I'm a catcher. I'm a baseball man. I'm a conspiracy man. I'm a golf man. But it's always the same intonation.
Right.
Kevin Costner's always talking like, and then of course Waterworld. I'm a fishman. But it's always the same intonation he says it with. I'm a G-man, I'm a baseball man, I'm a golf man, I'm a, you know, everybody knows what you're doing. I'm Kevin Costner, and this is my only acting style. Throw
is there
some
a single
ball.
Movie he's done, if that where he didn't start as a quiet man who was pushed too far?
Yes, Bull Durham.
There it is.
He wasn't quiet at all.
Right,
no, he's
the character
not,
was
not
in place.
Man. Right.
How about Robin Hood?
No, what was the one we had for Robin
Disqualified
Hood?
Disqualified as unwatchable.
Oh, so you can't even bring it into the conversation.
Yeah, right.
That's it. Get out of my sight, Robin Hood.
Everything I do.
Hey, Robin of Loxley, get out of my sight. Okay, so guys, the new sponsor. I was going to do this at the top of the show, but I missed it.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know why it was doing a read-on for you.
Yeah, we didn't approve that.
We don't know what
the buttons do yet is the problem.
No one approved that.
That was supposed to be locked away in the archives.
Okay, so you know how Jay Mafali, our good friend at the Wind-Up Shop, has been sort of sponsoring the last few episodes. Well, we have a new one that's related to Jay Mafali and his great band. You know, he's a musician, Cal.
The Yayas.
The Yayas. He has an excellent folk. It's sometimes a trio, sometimes a duet with his wife, Catherine. They're fantastic.
How is it a trio with his wife?
It's none of my business, really. Is it? He's very skinny.
Say no more.
a menage a folk. No, so he, you know, they play as the Yayas, and they've played at a number of festivals. They've been an emerging artist at Kerrville and stuff like that. I mean, they've really established a name for themselves as the Yayas. But he's got a new thing, and I sort of want us to promote them. And he said, well, yeah, sure. Sure you can promote them.
Listen, I don't even know what it is, and I'm in. I'll promote it.
he was Costner when he said it, too. He was like, sure, promote it.
I'm a
guitar man. I'm a strum man. I'm a chord man.
I'm a Guthrie man. So Arlo or Woody? I'm a rambling man. There it is. So he has this new venture. Actually, he and Kath and the Yayas have a new venture. It's called, Pete, you're going to love this. They got together and played a show with some other friends of theirs, and they sort of played each other songs, and then they did a couple of Joni Mitchell songs that they had worked on for a tribute to Blue called the No Fuss and Feathers Road Show. That's what they decided to call it. No Fuss and Feathers Road Show. It's fun to say. Yeah. So they're playing under this deal, this No Fuss and Feathers Road Show, and they have some really great gigs coming up, so I wanted to give them a little a little goose. Okay, you're all right with that? You took a minute.
I got very cheap marks right there. What happened?
I didn't know what you were giving them.
Well, here's the deal. So they are sponsoring tonight's show. Tonight's Ready to Load is brought to you by the No Fuss and Feathers Road Show, which is an evening of acoustic music presented in the round. It is with Carol Ann Solabello. These are big people in the folk world, too, by the way. These are big, you know, excellent artists, well-known, Karen Oliver and the Yayas, Catherine Miles and Jay Mafali, share the stage, they play each other's songs, they harmonize, there's percussion, and they generally have a fantastic time. It's really good. I've seen – there's a video. There's actually – you can go to YouTube, type No Fuss and Feathers in. There's a video. We're going to put the link to the video up that gives you a sample of them playing. It's really good, Cal. It's awesome. In fact, we should go see them because they have a very big gig coming up, very big.
When?
Like when? I tried to tell you, like when.
And when.
And when. We'll get to that one. And when.
RTU flashback. And that's, when.
That's my grandmother. That's Irene. They are going to play WFUV's John Platt presents On Your Radar, and they're playing at the Rockwood Music Hall. That's March 11th. 2014, at 7 p.m. That's at 196 Allen Street, New York. See, this is a big deal, too. They're playing this WFUV's On Your Radar show. So they're going to get a little publicity out of that. So anyway, check them out at www.facebook.com/NoFussAndFeathersRoadShow. I told Jay you need to shorten that. Just make it NFF. R, S.
There it is. There's the
that's much shorter.
Right there.
Yeah, that's much better.
You can go with that.
Thank you. Thank you, Johnny Acronym. Good job, everybody.
Johnny Acronym is the hero that will stop the spoiler.
That's right.
By the way.
Does hero stand for something there?
Help everyone read, I don't know.
Help everyone remain oblivious.
Spoilers.
That's correct.
That's right.
Help everyone remain oblivious to spoilers.
Johnny Acronym.
Johnny Acronym on the scene. It's J period O period H period N period N period.
Well, that's
Y.
Fine. We got to go to that. I want to go to that. When is that?
We got to go to Johnny Acronym?
No, I want to the no fast.
No,
no,
it's
fast,
a pause?
No feathers. No chains, no leather. The whole thing.
Look, you made it filthy. Yes, we do have to go to that. It's March 11th, again, 2014, March 11th, 7 p.m. at 196 Allen Street, which is the Rockwood Music Hall. So this stuff will all be up on the site. So they are presenting RTU tonight. So thanks to Jay. Also check out the YouTube video. And Peej, Cal, you guys, it's really good stuff. It's a great show. It's really entertaining. And the two girls that are singing with girls. Two women smack me around if I call them. Yeah, if I could, they're not even late. They're women. These are women. These are like Joni Mitchell, Carly Simon women.
Big boozy women. What are you getting at?
No, I didn't know. you went entirely wrong there.
Oh, sorry.
Like they're intimidating because they're so good and they're so.
These are artists. These are women. They're not little girls. They're not ladies. They're women. They're artists. They're
mature.
They're mature.
Mature.
It is.
I don't know what you're getting at, but it sounds great.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. Ladies
sounds like
there's a
skinny guy surrounded by some tough ladies.
Right.
And they're belting out tunes.
Exactly. Anyway, so check that out. Check out No Fuss and Feathers Roadshow. Okay.
And thanks for sponsoring us.
Yes, thank you guys. We'll scratch each other's backs, all right? Just Jay's, not the women. As again, I don't want to get my ass kicked. All right, get out of my sight. So let's move on to the Super Bowl. Peej, let's hang out. You should totally hang out because you've been a part of this. You've been part and parcel.
I am part of the Super Bowl.
It is time for the big unload. The big unload has to be that the Super Bowl is in 2 days in New York City. Well, it's in New Jersey, but it's in the New York, New Jersey area. It's a big deal. Are we not going to talk about the 80-pound gorilla in the room? Or
he's not very intimidating.
No, but before we. All right, we'll do it later.
What's the idiot? What?
I was going to tell you about the Blacklist thing.
What?
What's that?
What's that?
Remember, I was going to tell you the other night we were on the way to the game, and I was going to tell you the interesting thing about The Blacklist.
Oh, that program that was on Monday night.
That television program. That's correct.
PJ, did you see it?
Spoiler!
No. No, people are allowed to know if you saw it. We're not
spoiling
that.
Spoiler, there's no list. It's random.
What? Paul Lind was in it?
Not Paul Lind is the spoiler.
Oh, he's the spoiler.
I always felt that it should be Paul Lind.
Or Jim J. Bullock?
Yes, all of those guys with that voice.
Jim J. Bullock.
Simultaneously, right?
Yes. Spoiler, he's got a gun.
No. Pete, did you see the Blacklist this past Monday night?
I saw it, and I was so stunned by what I saw. My wife and I replayed it about 6 or 7 times.
The whole show, or just like the first 5 minutes?
Some key moments in the first 5 minutes, which made us so happy and proud.
Very proud, because somebody on that show in the first 5 minutes looked very familiar.
All right, enough already.
That's right. And it wasn't a girl. It wasn't a lady.
It wasn't us, PJ.
It wasn't us.
And Cal.
It was a good actor friend of ours.
Okay, whatever. Thank you. Sure. I was on The Blacklist on Monday night. Yes, I was on The Blacklist. I made my network television debut as a cop. New York City cop who gets shot by the... Spoiler alert! Gets shot by the bad guy.
On the ground.
Alan
happy Hughes. Ending.
Soylent Green is people! No! Here's the... Cal and I discussed whether we should discuss this. There's a lot of discussion. On the podcast or whatever, and I said, yeah, but it's the 80-pound gorilla in the room. Let's not avoid it. But here's the only thing I wanted to tell you guys. Here's the most interesting thing to me that has happened, and that is, in this particular scene, I tell them to stay where they are. There's a homeless woman, looks like a homeless woman walking up the street, like an emotionally disturbed person. She comes over to me for help. Some guy gets out of a van, says it's his sister, blah, 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 blah. And I don't know what to make of any of this. None of it's in the handbook. So I go back to my squad car to call it in, get the radio, and the bad guy shoots me in the side and kills me. And a lot of people thought it was a taser, by the way, which was funny. I'm like, no, there'll be no rematch.
Although, it could be left open to interpretation, because we did not see what happened after that to the cops.
No, I was never mentioned.
You could come back.
I could.
Spoiler, he's a cyborg.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me. That's my line in the next Blacklist. Here's what was interesting. I caught a lot of good-natured, some of it, guff about turning my back on these characters in the scene and going to the car to turning my back at all.
Wait, can I just stop you for 1 second? Some of the guff you received was not good-natured?
Well, that's what I want to get to.
Oh, okay.
Right. From our friends and family, most of it was. Or, you know, all of it seemed to be in good spirits and stuff like that. I think people taking a little too much delight in pointing that out, but that's okay. The answer to the question is, I did that because I was directed to do so. But, as I told you the other night, Cal, my father, a 31-year veteran of the New York City Police Department, who would probably be a pretty good tech advisor for anybody, considering he was a cop for 31 years in the city.
Not just as a cop.
That's correct.
He could probably advise a lot of things.
He does, and he does openly. Had zero problem with it because he said anybody that thinks you wouldn't turn your back on them is thinks they're in the movies. He said if you turned your if you were afraid to turn your back on every emotionally disturbed person and your funky mustache in New York, you'd walk backwards for your entire beat, you know, for your entire shift. And then my father had the great line, and you'd never make it through Williamsburg if you were afraid of a guy with, you know, a funky mustache. That's he said great. The only reason people are saying that is because he shot you. They know how it ends. But you don't go out on the street that way. It's, I would see five emotionally disturbed, you know, people dressed like that, you know, bums, homeless people, whatever, a day.
These people understand that the scene gets blocked by a director and they tell you, walk from here to here. Do they expect you to moonwalk to the car?
Right. Well, my father actually said, and I don't want to get too deep in this, but my father actually said it would have looked strange. It would have looked stranger to him if I had walked backwards, like, and kept my eye on them and was super cautious. Because you don't expect something bad to happen when you're working. But anyway, here's where one good-natured and something... Look, I've been waiting 16, 17 years to have this happen. It was wonderful. It was really cool. It was a great experience. Maybe, you know, hopefully there's some more of that in my future, and maybe I'll do a little bit of that this year. It was great. Being that it took 16 years to get here, there's this thing now called blogs and, like, recaps of popular shows. Like, there's a recap in the Wall Street Journal of last night's Blacklist, like, almost immediately after the show. And then there's
some places live blogging.
Right, and then there's, like, fan pages, and people are, like, and the Blacklist is, I guess, a pretty hit show.
It is.
So people are a hit show. What am I? Hey, 1950s Hollywood? What is it? We got a hit show on our hands. So.
But what a cooler crowd, you know.
It's a smash.
It's a smash. So I, perhaps idiotically, decided to see if other people were saying this.
Oh, no.
On the recap pages. And it turns out they were.
Like fans of the show?
No, like there were people that write recaps. Like the Wall Street Journal has one.
Like critics.
Yeah.
Oh, so if you were saying the show opens and there's a cop who does something.
The quote-unquote most trusting cop in the world was one of them. The other one that I loved.
That's no comment on the actor, though.
No. None of this is commenting on my acting, Peach, at all. And you know how I am with acting. I'm just glad I didn't get fired. That's the honest truth. I'm just happy I didn't get fired. That was my goal. Don't get fired.
Now, you and I have risen to the heights we both are at.
That's correct.
By being glad we're not fired.
Don't get fired. Just do your job, be professional, don't get fired. If I don't get fired, my acting was passable. So the other one was the and then a cop, a firm believer in the honor system, turns his back and goes to the car.
But who are these people, right? Where did this appear?
I have one of them was on like a fan page, and then the other one was on like a Wall Street Journal blog. So, like, this is I watch Mad Men, right? Mad Men, I'm a huge fan, and one of the joys of Mad Men now is to read Alan Sepinwall, who writes for a Hit List, I guess it is, or
Hit Fix.
His recaps of Mad Men are astounding. Like, I can't wait for them. They're a part of watching every episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess the Blacklist is building some of those sites too. But there were comments on the IMDb page and stuff like that, on the episode page and stuff, you know, just about what I can't believe that cop turned their back on him. I can't believe he turned his back on them. I can't blah, blah, blah.
But, you know, that was in the first couple of minutes of the show, and a lot happened after that. How are people commenting like that?
I don't know. I'm fine.
I'm sorry I'm getting very defensive, because I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah. My whole point in bringing it up was I didn't think of any of that. Like, I was just excited it was going to be on, and it was a quick turnaround and shooting, and my mom could finally say, my son's on TV tonight after 16 years. You know, that's all I.
It was nice.
That's all I really cared about. You know, my mother with that very tasteful billboard on Route 1 in Florida.
My son,
you know, my
Steven.
Son, the actor.
My son, the actor. My son, Steven, is going to be on television tonight.
That's like complaining that every Law and Order episode begins with somebody finding a body.
Right. It's like, but I didn't care. I just didn't. None of that occurred to me that that would actually happen. Like, oh, I might be part of, like, a recap. And it was just funny to me. It was very – that was a very interesting aspect of it. But it was great, and people were absolutely lovely. Came out of the woodwork. You know, people I hadn't talked to were in a long, long time and congratulated me, and it was really awesome. It was really great.
I think you should just own that and make that the line on your resume that you played –
the dumb cop. Right, the dumb cop.
Not dumb. He wasn't a dumb cop. He was a trusting cop.
Yeah, well.
In season 2 of The Blacklist.
Again, like I said, my dad signed off on it. That's all I really care about.
Now, you'll just need to be careful not to be typecast.
Yes.
As if a producer is looking for a trusting cop.
That's right.
I got just the guy.
I'm sorry. This calls for a suspicious cop, and we saw your work on The Blacklist. Just not going to work out. I'm sorry. We can't bring you in for that.
And by the way,
anyway,
if you watch the scene, your face in that scene more says, "What is this now?"
Yes,
which I thought was great.
Like, it was almost like this was a joke.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. What is this? What is this? I'm a cop in New York.
Again.
What is this? My mom warned me that I was going to see people like this.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad it read that way. And again, I don't want to talk about it too much more. But it was.
Why? We still got another hour
night.
And a half.
I know.
Awesome.
It's 42 minutes in. We haven't touched sports, so let's do that.
We
Please.
Opened with sports,
kind of. It's the Super Bowl. Let's talk about the Super Bowl.
You just get that's it.
Good. That's it.
Just like
I'm
that?
Good.
No.
I'm good. I'm clean.
Hey.
Let's go.
Congratulations, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. It was a lot of fun, and hopefully there'll be some more of it this year. It was a good time. It was a trip.
Hey, keep your eye out for the kid.
Yeah, we'll see. Kid's got to lose a couple LBSs if he wants to keep getting these calls. Okay, so, Cal, what hasn't been said about the Super Bowl? Manning, Russell Wilson, the Broncos, the Seahawks.
Richard Carroll.
Who's that? I'm sorry, who's that now?
Richard Sherman. I don't know if you've heard.
Not familiar with his work.
Ooh.
How about the heel turn that he did? So he plays the complete WWE villain after the NFC Championship game, and now the last, like, 10 days, 12 days, he's been this unbelievable other guy, which apparently is who he is.
Well, other than when he criticized Peyton Manning.
But I see. Yeah, but I didn't think that was.
He called them ducks.
He said he throws a lot of ducks. He does.
Mm.
He does. I didn't think that was bad.
Well,
I didn't think that was bad. But let me just get your take on the game. Let me get your take on the game right off the bat. Just we know who it is. We know who's there. We know that I think the Broncos are a 2-point favorite.
Two and a half. I'm
yeah,
not sure.
Two and
what
a half.
Now.
Really tight. Obviously, the Seahawks and the 49ers felt like the two best teams playing each other last week. The Broncos beat the Chargers at home, who were sort of lucky to be there, I think anyway, and then beat a not very great New England team. I do not know what to make of this game. I really don't. It's best offense versus the best defense. We said a couple weeks ago with Joe Caparoso last week that the Seahawks are built a lot like the Jets in 2010, a lot like the Jets. A great defense, second-year quarterback. Wilson's obviously a little better than Sanchez, or has shown to be better than Sanchez. But he struggled down the stretch. He had a bad, you know, last five or six games. But Wilson has shown a little bit more. I think that Jet defense was maybe a little better. But regardless, they run the football very, very well. It doesn't look like the weather is going to be a factor, Cal.
No, as it turns out, after all of the angst about it being a blizzard or whatever, it's going to be a nice day, nice night.
And in fact, if it's a certain, I think it's supposed to be like 41 or something like that, maybe like 38 by kickoff, it might not even be the coldest Super Bowl ever.
Right.
So that's a huge win. Sorry, I went a little Batman there. It's a huge win.
That's a huge spoiler. Don't let anyone know.
That's a
Don't say who it's for. Don't say who the win is for. Leave that part out.
I'll leave that out. No, that's a huge win for New York and New Jersey and for the NFL, who took a lot of heat for having the game here.
And for Denver.
Exactly. Well, it's very big for Denver.
They get the advantage in that because in a bad weather game, Seattle would help neutralize Denver's offense.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. You want to bring Elwood in now to talk about the game?
Yeah, let's bring him in.
Let's do it. Let's bring in our buddy.
One, two, three, four.
Elwood.
He's our buddy direct from Indianapolis. He is Elwood, joining us and I'm ready to unload. Hi, Elwood.
Oh, hey, I was enjoying your story there. I do photography and I direct like student films, commercials, plays. I do, you know, a lot of local directing. Gave me flashbacks to the time there was a murder mystery play one time, and they said they wanted to have a play outside the play, and they were going to have like people be cops outside and have a murder outside, and there was going to be something going on outside as people were entering, and they hired me to direct that. And boy, I had flashbacks of that nightmare. Everyone would be like, "But there wouldn't be the sirens going." I'm like, "It's a good visual." "Yeah, okay, but you've got the body outline on the floor with the flowers, but it just happened." I'm like, "It's a good visual." You know, it was so funny. I had to fight with everyone over logic plots like that. And it's so funny. I have to explain to people, sometimes we go with the good visual. This isn't reality. But, yeah, it was funny. I enjoyed your story. It was good stuff. I do that with my photography. Well, shouldn't this be pointed the other way towards me and not towards the camera? It's a good visual. Yeah, nice work there on that, by the way. But, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I fight it all the time.
Thank you, my friend.
I have to set many a person, and everyone listening, it's a good visual. It's TV, you know?
I think we have the name of your new show. It's a good visual.
Yes, it's a good visual.
Visual.
People like, but yeah, that was a fun job, though, directing a play outside. It was like 50 below that day and everything. But, yeah, it was interesting. They wanted a play outside the play. I thought, okay, if what you're paying, I'll do it. I don't get
I've been in some plays, Elwood. Someday we can talk about some of the stuff I've done.
Yeah, I can act my way out of a paper, but I'm a good director, good producer. I can do all that. I'm pretty talented at it. But, boy, Lordy, I couldn't act to save my life. But, hey, what I called about was Super Bowl. Seen
What's
a lot now? Of Peyton Manning Colts jerseys today here in Indy. A lot. Even a few Jacob Tammy's. And what really cracks me up is how most people here are like, "Hey, did you see? New York stole our Super Bowl Village." They're calling it New York Boulevard. They stole our Super Bowl Village idea. Oh, and they stole our zip line idea. But they've got like a slide. So actually, there's more hype here about all the stuff New York copied us doing, you know, kind of like a little pride thing. Yeah, look, New York's copying Indianapolis, more than it is about Peyton. So I really think the city's turned the page. I mean, this is Andrew Luck's town, and everybody's like, "Yeah, well, if Peyton wins the Super Bowl, Luck still beat him here." So it's interesting. I really thought there'd be more hype about Peyton being in the Super Bowl, but there really isn't. I think there would be just about as much hype over the guy if he had never played here. You know, a few people are wearing his jerseys and stuff, but I think it's because they already had him. Haven't exactly seen any Broncos ones or any new Peyton ones, or, well, I guess there wouldn't be any new ones, Colts. But, here's the weird part. The Simpsons, 5 years ago, I don't know if you've seen the pictures or not, had
Did
Homer watching the Super Bowl with the Seattle and the Broncos. I think that score's pretty close. That's on the
what
TV. I think it was like 14 to 7. I forget what it was. I'll have to look.
17-14 maybe?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I thought so too, because I was predicting 2023, and that's vaguely close, you know, especially for a prediction made in 2005.
Yeah.
But actually sooner than that, because The Simpsons take about a year to make each episode, so it's probably 2004 when they drew that. Or
yeah.
But
what do you Elwood, let me ask you right off the bat too, as far as this game in specific, and we know what the matchups are. Obviously, it's been 2 weeks of hype leading up to it, and you're somebody who watched Peyton Manning for the first 15 years of his career, so you know him
day one.
You know, quite intimately as a quarterback. How do you feel about his matchup against this secondary and against this defense?
I think he's going to do well. I know people say this and they say that, but he doesn't throw ducks. You know, he's a good, talented guy. He is an old school quarterback, and I think we're wrapped up with the Russell Wilsons of the world and the Kaepernicks and the Lux, and he's not that. He's old school, and I think he's going to do just fine. And everybody's the secondary. This is Peyton Manning. And when he decides to win something, he's going to win it. And
does he put too much pressure on himself, though, sometimes? Because there's a lot of pressure on him in this game.
Yeah, I think so. And that could hurt, because there was a lot of pressure to come into Indy and win against Luck. You know, don't let the snot-nosed kids show you up. And he went down like a house of cards. But then again, Clone's 20 years younger. But I don't think Wilson's quite the same caliber as Peyton Manning. So
Wilson will have less. Wilson also has less to do. I mean, he has a better running game, and he's not going to. If Russell Wilson makes three plays, he can make two or three big plays downfield or whatever. He can win the game. I think you're spot on. I don't think anything about that secondary and or you know, there's nothing that you can do to Peyton Manning at this point that he hasn't seen. There's literally nothing that you can sort of concoct. I mean, Rex Ryan.
Well, you can hit him.
That's it. I mean, that's it. That's
you
the only
can get
thing.
Him and hit him.
Right. The only thing you can do to him to throw him off is to get to him, and that's it. You know, because as far as schematically, you're not going to out-scheme Peyton Manning. You're not.
Well, and I know what teams get to Peyton, like the Chargers and all the and you know what? Seattle isn't one of those teams that historically get to Peyton. You know, it's not going to happen. And I think Peyton has some serious weapons around him, even weapons he never had with the Colts. And in some ways, I think going to Denver is good for the guy. I think they coddled him too much here in Indianapolis, let him keep people that he maybe should have got rid of or kept people who should have been let go. And I think sometimes they kind of just sat back and said, now how are we going to – there was a joke here in Indianapolis. When you go to a game at Lucas Oil, they'd say, is the roof going to be open? And they said, I don't know. They haven't asked Peyton yet. And I don't think that's half true. And
That might be 90% true. Forget about half true.
Oh, you know what? Peyton always liked it closed when it was cold, and when he played Luck, it was open. But I think that he has some serious weapons around him, and I think there are people he might not have picked but actually are good for him. And I think in some ways he's a little bit more deadly in Denver than he ever was in Indianapolis. I mean, it's just a whole other ball of wax, and I know he's getting more out. The outdoor Super Bowl, I think, would have hurt him more if he was in Indianapolis where he was used to playing in the dome. He's open up there in Denver, you know, and they get some nasty weather up there. I mean,
yeah,
not as bad as sea level, but
the only thing weather wise that I was going to find interesting, or going to find interesting, I do find interesting, and I'm interested to see how the quarterbacks deal with it. Is the wind? I mean, having gone to the Meadowlands for 19 years and then gone to MetLife a number of times. And the wind at MetLife isn't as bad, but the wind in that stadium is really tough. It's really tough. And I'm really interested to see how that plays out for Peyton Manning, because he doesn't have a lot of zip on the fastball anymore. He doesn't really need it. He's such a surgeon when it comes to, you know, finding open receivers or finding, you know, finding the seam to throw the ball to the tight end or to, you know, putting an off on it or whatever. But the wind is to me, is the biggest weather factor of all, because the wind swirls in that stadium. It absolutely swirls in that stadium. And Russell Wilson probably has a stronger arm. I mean, no doubt has a stronger arm. He's going to be asked to do less, though, and I think this is a close game, guys. I really do. I know I'm not way out on
it. I got 2023 on my prediction. That's how close I think it is.
And I think it's close late, too.
Oh, yeah, and I don't think Peyton Manning's the world's most athletic, athlete. He's not, but then again, I don't think Wilson is particularly athletic. You don't hear people say, he's particularly athletic or that's one thing that took me a while to get used to with Luck is this guy's athletic. This dude's fast. This dude's strong. This dude's maneuverable.
I think Wilson's an excellent athlete. I mean, he was a big time baseball prospect as well. Don't forget, he was drafted to play baseball. He turned that down to go to play football.
But I think he's a real strong suit. Do you?
I think he's miscast, Elwood. I think everybody wants to put him in that RG3 Kaepernick mold, and he's not. He's more of a pocket passer who only looks to run when the play breaks down. I don't think they're not running the read option there. I mean, they may run it occasionally or whatever, but he's not looking to run first by any means.
I feel like he's the quarterback that Geno Smith should be.
Yeah, or you hope Geno Smith turns into. That's right, Cal.
I wish Luck could be a little more like him because I think Luck runs the ball way too much. I mean, the joke here is, Andrew Luck, we need a running game, just not from you.
Right.
He needs to learn.
He's got to learn the Tom Brady thing. He's got to learn the Tom Brady slide up in the pocket, feel the pressure coming from the outside. You always beat Tom Brady by getting to him up the middle, right? Because Brady is excellent at that little slide step in the pocket to step up because he feels he has that innate ability to feel the pressure coming from the outside. I think Luck will develop that more and more. I think he is a little too fast to pull the ball down and try to take off. But that kid's exceptional. He'll get there.
I made a bucket list of things Luck needs to do to totally win over Indianapolis as kind of a joke. And within 2 years, he's done everything on this huge bucket list, but one thing, beat Tom Brady. Beat Peyton in his own house, win a game when you're down by 20, blah, blah. I made this list. He's done every one of them. I'm like,
what a playoff game.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Win a playoff game at the same level Peyton did, which he did last year. I mean, go with the next step the next year, which he did. I mean, the kids just progress. Like last year, people said, are you upset about Andrew losing Peyton? I'm like, why? Peyton went in the playoffs, lost to the Ravens, done. Andrew Luck went into the playoffs, lost to, I mean, why? This is the first year where they haven't about tied on what they've done.
Yeah. No, the future is bright there. Here's what I want to do, Elwood. We only have a couple minutes left. No, not at all. Just Cal and I have one other thing that we have to get to, and we have to run early tonight. But here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do. Okay. Sunday, set the scene for me. What does the Super Bowl look like for Elwood? What are your plans? What are your dreams?
Having a party.
You are having a party.
I live on the canal downtown. So I broke out all my old Peyton Manning stuff. Anything I've got that I've collected over the years of the man, I've got it out. It's going to be my spread.
How many people?
About 30, because I'm on the canal near Lucas
Oil,
so I'm kind of near the hub. But 30 is about all I can hold in my canal apartment. But and I got all my old Peyton stuff out, and I've got a few things left from my Super Bowl party when it was in Indianapolis, and I've got a couple things left over from when the Colts were in the Super Bowl both times. I'm going to get that out, and I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to make tenderloins and and a few Indiana things.
You can't just skip over a few Indiana things. Please educate us.
What?
Please educate us Northerners.
Well, we're going to have some rhubarb pie, and we're going to have tenderloins and French fries and Coney dogs and, just some...
Whoa. We're going to need the Coney dogs back.
Coney dog?
We're going to need to reclaim those.
No, the way we make them in Indiana is totally different than the way you make them.
But it's Coney Island. Where do you think Coney dog came from?
You guys have
thin
coating on them. I've had them...
Coating of what?
The hot dog.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Getting a little cultural slip here. You call that hot dog with the brown stuff on top of a Coney dog, don't you?
We don't really call them Coney dogs. We let you guys call them Coney dogs. We call them Nathan's hot dogs.
Nathan's hot dogs, right? What I'm trying to say that you would call it is a corn dog. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. We have a real thick outer coating on the hot dog on the stick, and it's a Coney dog. But totally sorry, I shouldn't.
Okay. No, see, a Coney dog here would be a hot dog with like chili or a hot dog with like sauerkraut and mustard.
Those.
Right.
I got you.
Oh, okay. You're talking about a corn dog.
Hey, you were talking about Nathan's. It was so funny. St. Elmo's had a shrimp eating contest, and they were going to compete with Nathan's. And I thought, okay, St. Elmo's, you compete with Nathan's hot dog. And you know what? Joey Chestnut was there, and all the news cameras were there, and it was a huge blowout. And I thought, well, St. Elmo's, you showed me he did something as big as Nathan's. So, yeah.
How many shrimp did he eat?
Quite a few. I don't know the exact number. I'm sure it's online and stuff. But yeah, sometimes Google St. Elmo shrimp eating cocktail eating contest. Joey Chestnut, whole nine yards. It's pretty sweet. But
wow.
Finish up my story here. And also I needed to come up with a really cool drink because I always come up with different Super Bowl drinks.
Right.
And what I did was there's this drink where you float Jolly Ranchers in vodka all night, and then pour it in a glass. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to soak the Jolly Ranchers all night in my vodka and then pour it into another pitcher and then don't put the Jolly Ranchers in the vodka. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw about 15 Skittles in a glass and pour it over it and stir it up and call it a Russell Wilson Skittles.
Nice.
So that's going to be my Super Bowl drink because I've been racking my brain what to do. So I'm just going to adapt my Jolly Ranchers to the Skittles.
I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah,
What time are we coming?
Hi, time you want. You can find me. I'm right on the canal, the USS Indianapolis Monument. It's right catty corner from my balcony. So.
All right. Awesome. Well, Elwood, enjoy the game. And seriously, thanks for checking in. And you know what? We'd love to hear from you around draft time, for sure. Like, we're getting ready for our draft show.
The combine is here, Mindy. So,
I know.
That is every year that turns into a bigger and bigger spectacle, and they let more and more people in. And when that first started here, it was just a few media people, and that was it. And now they let like 50 people in, then 20. I think last year they let 300 more people in and more people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I look for the combine to become some huge event here eventually.
That's awesome.
It's been fun watching that grow from just something the news people did to, ooh, this is an event.
Okay,
guys.
It's a huge event.
Good talking to you guys. And be sure to tell all those Super Bowl people we want it back here in 2018. So
absolutely. Enjoy the Super
Minnesota
Bowl, buddy. Thanks, Owen.
No place for a Super Bowl. And New Orleans,
amen.
They can't keep the electricity on, so bring it back.
We'll talk to you, pal. Thanks. Good job by Elwood.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep.
Elwood.
He's fired up. He's fired up for the game. He's fun to talk to. I think we did a nice job there.
He gives a good angle on the Peyton Manning thing because he watched
really
him for his whole career.
Yep. He really does. Let's talk a little bit more about this game, Cal, and then there's two other things to get to, and then that I wanted to talk to you about. And then, of course, there's this fun load that I have in store for you gentlemen that you guys you're going to lose it. It's really fantastic. I've been waiting all week. I came up with this on Monday. I can't wait. I didn't come up with it. I saw it somewhere, and I decided this would be great. I made the decisions. I made the call. Get out of my sight. All right?
You know who the spoiler sidekick is?
Who's that?
The teaser. And that's what you've just done. They work very well together.
They really do.
Right?
They do.
The teaser comes in, gets you all interested, and then the spoiler comes and knocks you down. They play good cop, bad cop. Trusting cop.
There was another great one that Lee had done. What was it? Gwyneth Paltrow's head's in the box. Her head's in the box. That's what's in the box, you guys. He jumps to this back in his time machine.
He's a little guy, right?
He's a total little guy. Right. He's totally like a junior man.
With round glasses.
We need Johnny Acronym. I think that's a good name for a bar. You said that before.
We're going to
Johnny Acronym. That place is great. A couple more things on the game, Cal. On the actual game itself. The idea that a running game for Seattle, that Seattle is, would you characterize Seattle as a running team?
You think you'd have to.
Right.
It's hard to categorize them at all, but if you were going to put them in a box, the running would be, I would think.
Okay, and the reason I ask is, haven't we been told over and over again, like even when the Jets were making, I know I have to go back to the Jets, but even when the Jets were making their run in 09 and 10, that those teams don't win anymore? Like
right.
I almost
it's not 21st century football.
Right. I'm going to relate it back to the Jets because that's what we do. I feel like Seattle being there and them winning potentially is bad for the Jets.
Why?
Because I think Rex Ryan will see it and be like, see, I don't have to change my prehistoric Neolithic. Neo meaning new. Lithic meaning lithic. I don't have to change my offensive philosophy. I can continue to run the ball and play great defense. That can still win a championship. You see. And I think you have to have the ability to throw the ball somewhat.
Well, I think Seattle is not a ground-and-pound team. They run
okay.
the ball. They're a running. They would. If you had to categorize them, you wouldn't categorize them as a passing team. So
what if they win this game? I'm sorry. What if they win this game like 16-10, and Marshawn Lynch has like 165 yards rushing, and Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson's like 12 of 18 for 175 and a touchdown.
Right. Or the touchdown comes on defense and they kick three field goals.
Right. I think this is bad for Rex
and
bad for Jet fans everywhere.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about it because I don't think Seattle's going to win the game.
Sorry, I was about to do a spit take.
Did I jump the gun there?
No, that's where I was going next.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, how much can you and I break down the game?
Break down Seattle and Denver?
Yeah, people that are much better at it than we are doing that.
All right, from a purely amateuristic standpoint.
I don't think that's a word.
Amateuristic?
I don't think so.
I'm an amateuristic linguist then. Because I'm not using the right words.
Go on.
Okay, in my humble opinion, I think Seattle's defense is great, but I don't think they have enough to keep up with Denver's offense. There's just too many weapons. You're gonna put Sherman on Demaryius Thomas, probably, right?
Yes. No, he doesn't do that, Cal. He's not Revis. He plays half the field.
Okay.
He lines up on the left side. Whoever's split out wide to the left or the right, he will be lined up on outside.
All right, so whoever they put out, you're going to put one guy out there. You're going to put one of Denver's receivers on that side.
Yes.
Right? Okay, that leaves on the other side Decker. It leaves Welker in the slot. It leaves Julius Thomas as the tight end. They can run the ball, too. There's just a lot of different weapons, and they have Peyton Manning. I don't think Seattle has seen anything like this yet this year. For as great as they've been, I don't know if they've had to deal with something like this yet. Throw in the fact that it's a huge game, and the eyes of the world are on them. They haven't had that yet either, really. Where the focus of everybody is now on Seattle. They've
right.
never been there before. They've got, two guys on the roster that have even been to a Super Bowl? I think it's two guys. I don't know who those two guys are, but I think it's just two guys.
my understanding. There's two guys.
Don't ask me who they are. I don't know who they are, but I think I heard only two guys. So Denver's much more experienced. They're a much more veteran team than Seattle. They've got more weapons. I think it's going to be close. I think it has the potential. Denver has the potential to jump out early, and it will be close after that. Like, Seattle won't be able to get back in the game. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be a close game, and close late enough. 8-9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, it'll probably be within a score. But if I just spitballing here, Denver 24, Seattle 20.
Okay, let me ask you about the Fox factor, about, you know, John Fox having been there before, having been to a number of Super Bowls, including one as a head coach, as opposed to Pete Carroll, who said, "Wow, it's almost like a bowl game."
Yeah.
Hey, Pete. Yeah, it's a little bigger than that.
It's a bowl game, all right. But
is there a huge advantage for John Fox having coached in this game before?
Yeah.
There's got to be, right?
I think so. I think that's
largely under discussed, by the way.
Well,
I just think that's a factor I haven't heard a lot of talk of. And Pete Carroll did not coach a good game in the NFC Championship game. He didn't.
No. I always feel like when Peyton Manning is your quarterback, you don't really hear too much about the coach.
Right.
You know? But you're right. It's very underrated. And I think if you're going to go tail of the tape here, we all love that. John Fox has a distinct advantage over Pete Carroll.
Okay.
In this game, maybe not as a coach overall,
right,
but in this game, I think he's got a definite advantage.
Yeah. I you don't hear a lot about the idea. This is why it would be so interesting, well, among many reasons, for the Jets to get to the Super Bowl with Rex Ryan as their coach. Only because he is a defensive sort of genius and mastermind. We've seen it with Belichick a number of times, with all the times they've been to the Super Bowl. You don't hear a lot because of the amount of media and coverage. I'm not hearing a ton about game planning, like giving John Fox 2 weeks to game plan for Seattle, or giving Pete Carroll, you know, 2 weeks to game plan for Peyton Manning.
Do you typically hear that, though, for the Super Bowl?
I don't think you do enough. That's
right?
That's my thing. Well, you did. You always do with Belichick.
Well, right, right.
Because he's Belichick.
Right. They have to sell the genius angle with him.
Well, and it's deserved. I mean, you know, it's not like Eli Manning lit them up for 50 points.
Right. It's a little overblown. It's deserved.
I think it's overblown overall.
How about it's deserved, but it kind of took on a life of its own?
It definitely has, yes. Granted, right. Ding, 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 ding. Allowed. No, I think, and of course, you know, when he doesn't have 2 weeks to plan, or when he has 2 weeks to plan without video footage of the other team practicing, also seems to affect his game plan. Just saying. Just throwing that out there. But you don't hear a lot about that, and why don't you? Why is that not a factor? They have 2 weeks to prepare for the other team to look at film. I mean, now we know a little bit more in this day and age about how much these coaches prepare, what they watch, how much film they watch. Everything's on tape. And you're getting an extra week to devise a game plan specific to your opponent. You have tons of tape. You have extra tape because they've played playoff games. It should be a factor. Like, I want to see if Pete Carroll has a game plan to stop Peyton Manning in this particular game, on this particular day. What do you got on turf in the, you know, in 35 degree weather? You know, what do you have? Like, here's the example I'll give, Cal, is Sean Payton. At offside kick. And Pereira told the story. Am I saying that right?
Mike Pereira. Yeah.
Told the story that the week leading up to that game, Sean Payton told the referees, told the crew, he gave them a heads up, I might do this to start the second half. And it was to say, I might try the onside kick. If I try it, I don't know if it was like line up properly or something, but
be in position for
correct.
It.
Correct.
Because I don't want you to blow this call.
That's right.
Which is crazy when you think about a coach telling the officials that earlier in the week.
Right. He told them that a week before the game.
Right.
That was part of his game plan. What is something that Pete Carroll can do differently to Peyton Manning? Do you make Richard Sherman shadow Demaryius Thomas? Does that throw him off?
Yeah, I don't think you can ask your personnel to do something completely different than you've done for 6 months.
I'm just wondering if, no, and Billick said that too this week. Brian Billick said, you know, do you change up, you know, the question was, do you change up? Do you try to, you know, and he said, no, you basically stick with what got you here and stuff like that. But
I agree with that.
Yes, but to an extent, but aren't you game plan specific? Well, you are. The opponent you're playing?
Sure, you are.
So come with a wrinkle. I'm asking for a wrinkle.
I'll accept the wrinkle.
Look, you got a wrinkle. You got a wrinkle to beat Peyton Manning. You have to wrinkle at this point.
I know, but you can't go dramatic change.
I'm not saying, you know, put the kicker out there as a safety.
I know. Look.
That'd be awesome, by the way. Can that happen?
Put the kicker in the secondary?
In the secondary? Just like a down. Like, what does he do? Pete Carroll's drunk. Go home, Pete Carroll.
His helmet is backwards.
Yeah.
He's just running around in circles.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying something subtle.
Yeah, you have to.
Show him a different look early.
You have to, because Peyton Manning probably has every look Seattle has given all year.
For the last 3 years. Forget about all year.
Right. Memorized. Like, if you gave him a sketch pad, he could write it, he could draw it out.
I mean, shortly after doing a wonderful caricature of Pete Carroll.
Right.
Because he's a
big head, little body.
Yeah, right. Like a bar mitzvah caricature. he would then draw out every play that Seattle's defense can run.
In caricature form. Yeah.
My last thing on this. When the Jets beat the Patriots.
To the Jets.
You like how I did that? When the Jets beat the Patriots in 2010 at Foxborough, what won them that game? Yeah, the playoff game. What won them that game? I mean, Mark Sanchez played extraordinarily well, you know, but the defensive game plan won them that game.
Right.
They threw looks at Brady that he had never seen.
Right.
They laid off in coverage. They only rushed three guys. They bracketed receivers. They hit guys over there. I'm just saying, why don't you hear more about it being game plan specific?
Because you need to know which Real Housewife of Atlanta Pete Carroll likes the best. That's what you hear this week. You don't hear about his game planning. You hear about nonsense.
How have you found the New York, New Jersey Super Bowl, Cal?
It's been all right.
I haven't seen any difference.
Now, you are closer to the action than I am on a daily basis. What have you seen in the city, in Manhattan?
Nothing. I work on the east side. It is completely unaffected.
Okay.
I was thinking of taking Wes tomorrow. Just taking Wes to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl Boulevard.
Oh, you are?
I was thinking of taking him.
Interesting.
Just to check it out, you know, if it's too crowded or if it's crazy pants or whatever, we can leave, you know, or we can just walk. I mean, it's such an easy train ride for me.
Right.
You know, we can just walk up Fifth Avenue and go do something else. But I was thinking of checking it out tomorrow, and I've heard good things. Now, I've heard it was wall-to-wall people today, but it doesn't feel to me like it's in New York, New Jersey. Does it feel like it to you?
Well, what about PJ? PJ's kind of in the mix a little bit too, right?
Well, he's been working on it.
So he's in the mix.
I've been to the Bud Light Hotel. Have you been there yet?
No, but Simmons is doing his podcast from there, I think.
Yeah, it's very hard to get over there. I only happened to be over there because I parked nearby, and I passed it, and I said, "Wait a minute, look at this circus over here." Unbelievable.
Were you looking at the Jets?
Right.
What? No.
Did you go to the butt fumble exhibit?
There are cops everywhere. Everywhere. And I would hope so. The street from the Intrepid, there's this giant tent, and it literally says the Bud Light Hotel.
Yeah.
Which I just think is so funny.
Because it's a tent?
Because it's a tent, and it's Bud Light. And who would ever stay at the Bud Light Hotel?
In a tent.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
You've been in that neck of the woods, though, Peach. I haven't ventured over to the west side. I have no occasion to. You know, what's the skinny there? Is it crazy on Super Bowl Boulevard?
People are taking it in stride. It's not. You know, people crowd.
It's New York.
It's New Yorkers, right? They're over it before it started. But you know, security's heavy. And there's a lot of TV crews that really don't want you to bother them, and they've got a lot of stuff to do, and you know, you're standing on my cable, sir. You know, there's a lot of that.
Right.
And did I tell you that I thought I sent you the picture that I had a game ball.
Yes, I did see the picture. Yeah.
Oh, you got okay. That really.
Did you get to keep that?
No, that was taken away very quickly.
Negatory.
Did they know you were taking the picture, or?
It made its way around the fifth floor.
Oh, that's cool.
Someone, some massive producer, was allowed to bring it around. So we have an official Super Bowl game ball and an official Denver Broncos foam finger, with no corresponding. Seahawks foam finger.
Good thing it was official. You can get a knockoff.
This thing was beautiful. It was molded. It had like it almost had fingerprints.
Right.
And it was a real.
Did you get it sized?
It's a foam finger. I'm a 7.5. Actually.
That's right. These are custom fit to my hands. For sure.
Yeah, because when you're saying you're number one, you really want to do it in style.
Mm-hmm.
How did the Super Bowl commercials come out?
It was a great show. It was on Wednesday.
It was on Wednesday?
It was on Wednesday on CBS and... was second in ratings of the night, losing out only to American Idol, which we expected.
Which I think is no shame there.
Yeah, no, it was fine.
Excellent.
Great show. Boomer was great.
Was he Canadian? Because that's what you sound like.
Look, as long as they keep showing my favorite commercial, I'm happy to work on that show.
What's your favorite commercial?
The talking stain on the shirt.
Oh, right.
That would be.
The guy's at a job interview, and the guy who's interviewing can't hear what the guy's saying because all he can do is stare at the stain.
I love it. What will you do for the Super Bowl, PJ? What will you be eating? This is like the Oscar question of who are you wearing.
Right.
What will you be eating for the Super Bowl?
It's important.
Well,
of course it's
important. My awesome wife just... recently got the bug for making homemade pizzas.
What?
So, like serious homemade pizzas, though. Serious ones. Not like,
as opposed to the comedic ones?
Not like English muffin pizzas with sauce and some sprinkled cheese.
Which are hilarious.
I mean, yes, they are. I mean, serious pizza with a pizza stone and a thing. You slide it in and out of the oven, and you
this
throw
is
the dough
remains,
up in the air.
Remains of the day pizza here. This is
yes.
This is Goodwill Hunting, not Mork and Mindy.
That's correct.
I think if I was a betting man, I would say we're going to have a little bit of a pizza party on Sunday.
Pizza party, nice.
Wow. I love everything about that.
Yeah.
Now, is it just you guys? Are you having people over, or
where's my invite? That sort of thing.
Right. No, I don't host Super Bowl parties because I do really annoying things that drive other people crazy, like change the channel and check Puppy Bowl. And
our good hosted by our good friend Dan Schachner.
Our very good friend Dan Schachner.
And a former RTU guest, Dan Schachner,
mm-hmm.
hosting, I think it's his third or his fourth Puppy Bowl. He's the referee.
I think it's his third
go-round as referee for the Puppy Bowl. Dan is an old friend of ours. He was on the program.
By the way, what a great way to get women. Just mention the Puppy Bowl.
It's unbelievable. It is the ultimate girl pull magnet move.
Just say in the bar. You know, my friend is the host of the Puppy Bowl.
Aww.
Forget about my friend. What is Dan Schachner doing? I mean, it's just, please. That's the ultimate. You don't have to have game ever again. I'm the referee in the Puppy Bowl. I can get you Puppy Bowl tickets, ladies.
I don't know why you're trying to get on blacklist. You should be going out for Puppy Bowl, man.
He's great at it. It's a tremendous gig. He was on like a Morning America the other day with it and stuff. It's such a great gig. Good for Dan.
It's a show about puppies.
That's right.
I mean, how is this only happening recently?
This is like Puppy Bowl 12.
Should this sort of have been on TV all the time? Hey, let's make shows about puppies.
I want to be in the puppy
Spoiler,
business.
They're cute.
Spoiler alert.
He's wearing an ascot.
Oh, here comes the teaser. You'll never believe who wins.
And back in the time machine. Right back in the time machine, right back home. Ruined it. Ruined it for everybody. Kaiser So says Kevin Spacey. Back in the time machine. Okay, so we could,
before we go on, what about you? You have, you know, you're asking us, but we're doing...
I'm not watching the game.
You're not going to watch the game?
No.
Okay.
Come on. Seriously?
Get out of my face.
Get really? Out of my sight.
Oh.
Get out of my face.
Maybe that's what I had.
Maybe that's what you got. Get out of my face.
Get out of my face.
Really? Were you playing pickup basketball? Or?
Right.
What is
get out of my face.
Get out of my face.
Get into my car.
Yes. Thank you, Billy Ocean. Get out of my dreams. Get into my car. There's nothing creepy about that, is there?
No.
Like if he just went up to the girl and was like, here's the thing.
You're in my dreams.
That's the first part.
He pulls up in like a Cadillac.
Or it was like a fake shell of a neon car in the video, if you remember. It was like he had his arm out the window and he was holding it. And just walking
I
in.
I always liked that guy.
Get out of my dreams. Get into my cardboard neon car. I assure you, nothing bad will happen to you.
Is that the next line?
And I'm going to sing that. I'm not just asking you, I'm going to sing it to you.
Get out of my dreams. Get into this. That was the original lyric. They're like, Billy, that doesn't read well at all. I'm gonna play Mr. Producer here, Billy, and I'm gonna say
make a couple of changes. We're on this by you.
Three producers fired over artistic difference.
And don't start with the word hey. Let's lose that.
You really, if you're gonna keep hey, I would not say that angrily. You
what
really,
other podcast brings up Billy Ocean this frequently?
You're really seeing
it.
It
breaks it down.
You really...
That's
hey.
The Billy Ocean breakdown.
Hey. get out of my dreams, and get in the car.
Get out of my sight.
Get in the back seat, baby.
Is that how it started? It started like he actually had somebody like that angry. Like, hey, listen, get out of my dreams. Get into this car now.
That's the menacing remix.
That'd be a song.
It's like Eminem did that song.
Caribbean Queen. Now she's sharing, but nobody knows the words to that song.
I never knew it was Caribbean Queen.
What did you think it was?
Now that we're free.
What?
For the longest time. I mean,
we're free?
No, the
you are an amateuristic
free.
Linguist.
Now we're sharing the same dream. I thought that's what it was.
Dreams are a very big theme, apparently, for Billy Ocean.
Well,
he's
maybe
a dreamer.
She broke free from his car. And she's going back to the dream. It's all a circle. Get out of the dream. Get into the car. Now that you're free.
Get back in the car.
Get back in the dream.
And she's in tattered clothes, like on the side of the road.
Now we're sharing this dream.
She's trying to get away.
Oh, God.
Now she's sharing the dream about being in the car. Look, I told you to get out of my dream.
No more love on the run.
That we were sharing.
On the run.
We were sharing the dream. I want you out of the dream and into the car.
In the backseat.
Look, this is all a big distraction from the fact that Steve's got no Super Bowl plans.
That's correct.
He has no Super Bowl. You're going to watch the game.
Yes.
You're
going to
watch
the game. I think I'm going to my brother's, and I'll probably watch the first half there, and then I'll probably listen to the second half on the radio on the way home. Yeah, that'll be a food stop. Not sure what Scott's going to cook, but good job over there. Good job.
Nice.
Yeah, they do a solid. So I'm looking forward to it.
Look, it's changed over the years. You know, we talked about the years of the Super Bowl parties in the past. They're kind of a thing of a bygone era at this point now that we have families.
Right. I think I'll go back to it, though. I was thinking about this the other day, that when the kids are grown up.
Like adult kids or?
No, like Wesley's like.
Like my kids' age?
No, later. I'm saying like 15, 13.
Okay.
Right? So I got 15, 13 there. I think we have like a big blowout party.
I think we can, yeah, we can go back.
Right. Your kids will be 27. Be good.
Well, yeah. We'll be at my kid's house.
You're right. We're throwing it at Julius.
No, but you're right, because I think about my parents. They go to a Super Bowl party every year.
Yeah, like then it becomes like an adult Super Bowl party thing.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's what, mark it on your calendar.
A couple years from now.
Let's start planning a menu now.
We should start plotting a menu.
It might take that long.
Does it have to be plotting? Should we like, is it clandestine? Are we getting together?
On an architecture board. Like an engineer's graph paper. That's how we plot it out.
I'm always reminded of the montage scene from my favorite Seinfeld with when they try to pull off the menage a trois. And they do the montage where they're going back and forth and like exchanging ideas or whatever. And, you know, like George is so adamant, like, it can work, you know. And then they get to the end of the montage, and he's, you know, go home, get some sleep, we'll work on it tomorrow. And then he comes running back in the door, I got it! With the tremendous line, do you ever get on your knees and thank God you have access to my dementia? This is like discovering plutonium by accident! Anyway, all right, I want to get to this fun load. Do we have to talk about the Mets, Cal? Do we really?
No, we're not going to talk about the Mets. We're not going to talk about the outdoor hockey game. Let's just move on to the fun load.
You sound so pissed RGU, off.
Sports is starting to bug us. That's the new one.
Just in the way.
Let's talk about the hockey game then.
Briefly, couple minutes.
Yes.
couple minutes only because of the spectacle of seeing a hockey game outside at Yankee Stadium was just, I don't know how you felt, but it was bizarre.
I didn't find it bizarre. I found it very cool. I think I was most taken by the fact that it's an angle I've never watched a hockey game from before.
From where we sat.
Yeah. We were up in section 428 in the upper deck at Yankee Stadium, both well-dressed, you know, not with tuxedos, both adequately, you know, properly dressed for the weather, you know, having our cold weather football gear on. I thought it was super cool to see a hockey game from that angle.
Yeah.
From way up high and with that many people and see the entire ice. And it was a view I'm never going to get again. But I thought it was cool. I didn't really find it that bizarre, I guess. I don't know why.
It took me some time to adjust to it. And I could not get past the visual of watching the hockey game in front of me and out of the corner of my eye, seeing the Yankee Stadium facade and being outside. It just, like, the whole atmosphere was weird.
That was odd.
It was fun.
It was.
It wasn't, like disorienting or uncomfortable. It was fun.
Right.
Just strange.
It was. I don't know. I think I was just so focused on the game or what the game experience would be like that it didn't really throw me off that much. I mean, we were clearly pilgrims in an unholy land.
Yeah.
We were Met fans in Yankee Stadium watching right. The Islanders play the Rangers when it was about 65-35 Ranger fans.
Yeah.
So we were really, really in strangers in a strange land. We were definitely Michael Valentine's. But we... Yeah, I thought it was too cold almost to be pissy.
Yes.
Like Ranger fans, I will say this. I hadn't been to an Islander Ranger game in a really long time, and this is the only reason I went to one was because it was the first ever outside game at Yankee Stadium between the two teams.
Right.
Is there a team's fan base that has won less, that has a bigger sense of entitlement than the New York Ranger fans? Yep, I said it. It's out there.
You sure did.
They have won one Stanley Cup in 74 years. And they make it sound like the idea of rooting for any other team in New York is criminal. Oh. Like, you're an Islander fan? You're not from New York. Only New Yorkers are Ranger fans. They're the only team in New York. Like, they can't even fathom that you would root for another team, let alone the Islanders. And the only other fan base I could think of, Cal, was Knicks fans.
Yeah, you might be right.
And that have one less and think we own the city. What?
Phillies fans are kind of like that, too.
Which team?
Phillies fans.
Oh, the Phillies. I'm sorry. I thought you meant Philadelphia.
The Philadelphia Philly fans.
Absolutely.
Not one a lot.
No. Not just not one. They're the losingest franchise in professional sports.
Well, that's true.
They've lost the most games in professional sports.
They did win. They won one World Series recently. Yes. But again, won, and you'd think they had won 12.
They won in 1980, and they won in 2008. They've been around for 110 years. I mean.
It's like dirt.
That's a good call. That just amazed me. I had forgotten how entitled Ranger fans feel.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Sure.
What will happen sooner? You going back to Yankee Stadium or you going back to a Ranger game? It could be a Ranger-Islander game. But
I would say the Ranger-Islander game.
You would go back to a Ranger-Islander game before you went back to Yankee Stadium. Gun to your head.
No, I'm just thinking what's more likely, because my boss has Ranger season tickets.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
So I might get the opportunity to go to a Ranger Islander game at the Garden.
And you wouldn't pass it up?
And I wouldn't pass it up.
Okay, that's fair. I'm good with your stadium, by the way.
Their season's over, so.
Whose season's over?
The Islanders.
Yes.
Yeah.
They beat the Rangers last Tuesday to move to within 4 points of a playoff spot.
Yep.
And haven't won since.
And not only have they not won since, they had a win taken away from them.
Right.
In what is clearly one of the worst calls. Like, one of the worst jobs I can possibly... Like, it ruined hockey for me for, like, 4 days.
Just in time for you to come back around and go to Yankee Stadium.
That's correct. Just in time for me to go watch them lose to the Rangers at Yankee Stadium on a cross check that wasn't called.
In 5-degree weather.
Yeah. Oh, that, that...
With Ranger fans peeing on the Yankee Stadium concourse.
Correct. That's correct. The the Islander Blues game almost ruined me for hockey for the year. It really did.
Yeah, that was bad.
It put that bad of a taste in my mouth about hockey in general. The whole thing feels fixed.
So in 5 games, they've lost every one of them, had a win taken away from them, had a home game taken away from them.
That's right. Against the Rangers.
Against the Rangers, and they lost twice to the Rangers in those 5 games.
Correct.
So good, you know, good job.
Yeah.
Thanks.
See you next year, guys.
Hockey.
It's so
disappointing. Hockey.
And the Mets. I read Megdal's article.
Really cool, like 90 seconds, really.
Yeah, the story here is that the Wilpons are apparently about to refinance their loan yet again, their debt, the $250 million that was coming due this year. Basically,
right.
Cal, I don't know if you read Megdal's article.
I did.
Capital New York. I thought he was spot on. I thought it was spot on. I don't think it means anything for the Mets or Met fans. I think it means that they basically get to keep the team another year.
It's, you know, I forget where I read it, but it's kicking the can down the road is the perfect analogy for this.
Yeah. They just bought themselves another year.
So they did. They didn't buy any. I mean, they've got no money to spend on players. They just get to keep the team.
Well, it's reading that last night, I sent you the article. It was a New York Post article about how they were going to be able to refinance this debt. And one of the things in the article said that, and this is something we had speculated on a number of times. Howard Megdal has written it a number of times in Capital New York. And it was never really sort of confirmed that they were not allowed to spend more money.
Right.
As part of their financing of their loans, they weren't allowed to spend money.
So they're sitting here telling us that everything that's happened to them has no effect on the operations of the baseball club. Yet at the same time, part of the stipulation in the deal is that they can't spend more money on the team.
Yep. Brought me back to our conversation about Jose Reyes. I don't think they could offer him the money.
You might be right.
I think as part of their loan agreements.
That's why they didn't even make him an offer.
That's why they didn't make him an offer.
All right.
All of this is sort of it's the worst thing that I could have read. It really is. Because as a guy, and I think you're right there with me, bud. We've talked about it. As two guys, two huge Met fans who want the Wilpons to stop owning this team and have to sell this team. Your hope was when this $250 million debt came due this year, they would be forced to sell the team. It's just further news that they're not going to have to, and they can keep operating the organization on this shoestring budget, and remember Joe Pesci at the driver in Lethal Weapon 2.
The difference, I think, between you and I is that my end game here is not the Wilpons not owning the team. My end game is whoever owns the team operates it in the manner of a New York baseball franchise. If it's Wilpons, that's fine. I don't like them. If they're doing the, look, the way this was supposed to work with Sandy Alderson was they were going to bring Sandy Alderson in, and he was going to be the grown-up in the room to run things the right way. And if the Wilpons had the resources to give to Sandy Alderson to run this team the way that it should be, that's what you want. I don't like the Wilpons. Hate them. Can't stand them. Wish they'd go away. Hate their faces. All of them.
Get out of my face.
Get out of my face.
Get
all
out of my face.
Out of my and into the trunk
and out of my car.
Of my
stay
car.
Out of my car.
It doesn't even. But that's my thing. You want the Wilpons gone at all costs. I just want the team to be run the way it should be run. If it's them, so be it. If it's somebody else, even better. But that's what I'm looking for.
Right.
And the news ensures that the team will be continued to be run the way that it's been for the last 5 years. And that's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I don't think they're capable of running it the proper way.
Right, but they don't, but from the baseball operations, they don't have to run it. They can put somebody in charge that knows what they're doing.
No, but I'm saying I don't think they're going to regain the financial wherewithal to run the team.
You're right.
That's why I want them to sell. Look, they've spent money before.
Well, then that's what needs to happen.
They're also, you know, Jeff Wilpon's just a terrible baseball guy. He really is. He really is. But I don't think they're going to be financially capable, Cal, of running the team. They're kicking this debt down the road over and over again, and they're never going to be able to put money into the team.
I don't understand how there is always someone to bail them out at every corner. At every turn, when it looks like they've hit a dead end, here comes somebody, here comes the spoiler.
Here comes Bank of America, here comes, you know, Major League Baseball, here comes anybody.
I know. It's galling.
It
is. As a Mets fan and as a fan of morality.
It is. And they don't, and they also... You know, look, we can bitch about it all night. They also don't run the organization the proper way. They smear their own players. They have a PR guy who's 60 whatever years old and has no idea what he's doing. They're never out in front of a story. They're always behind. They're always reactionary. Yeah, I mean, there's other stuff aside from just the cash.
And they are smug to the nth degree.
Yep.
That defiant arrogance that I talked about 2 years ago.
Yep.
That's how
they're not going anywhere. They want you to know they're not going anywhere.
They rub your noses in it.
That you're not going anywhere. Or that they're not going anywhere. Yeah, it's good times. That was bad news last night. That really was for me. I was counting on that to come to, and them being like, we got now. I don't have to. Saul, do you have $250 million? I don't have $250 million. Bud Selig's retiring. I thought the Ducks are, you know, their saviors are leaving.
I waited 5 years for the winter of 2014, and I got another Wilpon bailout and the other Chris Young. 5 years of my time is what I waited for.
Yeah. And you also elbow surgery for Matt Harvey, too.
Right, Tommy John surgery.
Tommy John surgery
for Matt Harvey.
Matt Harvey.
Right, the best young pitcher they've had since Roy Gooden.
Yeah.
Fun load time. What do you got?
The fun load.
Here we go.
Yay. Oh, boy.
No,
we'll,
I'm serious.
We'll get more into baseball. Yeah, we'll get to baseball. You know, the Super Bowl is going to be over. We're going to do the draft and stuff like that, too, for the NFL big time. But, you know, pitchers and catchers are about 15 or 16 days away. So it's going to get started very soon. I don't think the Mets are a finished product. You do. We've talked about the reality show that has been the Yankees offseason. They're a fascinating team.
Right.
baseball's going to get fun again. Okay.
Although, last thing, I do think it's crazy that tomorrow is February 1st, and there is just a whole host
of
top free agents out there.
There's a lot of guys.
This is a new world for baseball free agency.
Yep. There's a lot of guys without jobs that are players. I mean, that are contributing players.
Guys that in the past would be snapped up in November.
Yep. They would be on at the winter meetings. They're out there.
All right.
Here's my fun load. We can do it another week, too. We can continue it.
Let's do some tonight.
Yeah, no. We're going to do a little bit of it tonight. But it's something that you we can do, you know, anytime. Whoa, that's it? All right. That's time for the fun load. Wait, do we have to pay that guy? I thought that was you.
Well, we do.
Oh, boy.
We do.
Hint, hint. The spoiler.
Still waiting.
You got
to
pay
check.
Me. Tyler Durden is Ed Norton. So, back in the time machine.
Spoiler, you never see a dime.
calling this, I want to call it the first time ever I saw your face. Just to sing that song. Is there a more dramatic?
Sing it.
Come on, Peach.
Can Cal sing it, please? Do your best Roberta Flack
first
right
time.
Now. Oh, yeah.
Ever I saw your face.
Cal's a bit of a crooner.
Wow. Who knew?
I had no idea.
Hidden talent. I can only do Roberta
bouclet.
Flack songs, though. Don't ask me to do anything else.
I wouldn't.
You only do Flack?
Only Flack. Joe Flacco, if he sang a song, I could do his. Roberta Flack. Rod Stack. I'll do them all.
I actually wanted to call it Seeing Things for the First Time. Anybody? Black Crows?
Anybody got it?
Not
Feels Like the First Time?
Feels Like the First Time we could also do. Although I make it a rule never to have Foreigner in my life.
Lou Gramm demands a lot of money for that.
He does.
He has to come on
Foreigner.
The show.
You
Who doesn't
love Foreigner?
Like Foreigner?
Hand is vigorously raised.
Jeez.
I do not care
That's
for Foreigner.
So serious. What a great band.
At what?
Singing.
They were Train before Train was Train. That's Foreigner, man.
Are they a construction outfit?
They're fantastic. Foreigner.
Because
great.
I don't care for their music. Oh, well,
oh,
you can see them. You can see them in Citi Field. Trust me, I'm sure at some point.
No, that was last year.
Yeah, with REO Speedwagon. I'm sure you can catch them.
This year, Huey Lewis.
No,
with the wagon.
The Speedwagon, okay, I don't care for, but Foreigner, I like them.
You know that, right? It's Huey Lewis is not there with the news.
Right. Because what's the joke, Cal?
The Mets can't afford the news.
So our buddy, good friend of ours, Terry Scannell, posted this on his Facebook page, and I thought this would be a fascinating, really fun load that you could do, you could apply to a lot of things. His post said, things I wish I could see for the first time again. And one was Goodfellas, one was, I can't remember the second one was, and the third one was Joe Namath and the Susie Colbert Joe Namath interview. And I thought this was like a really interesting take. Like, give me like a top three sports moments you wish you could see over for the first time.
Can I ask a question?
The floor is open for questions.
That wasn't my question.
Sorry. Right. I don't mean to go all Comedy Bang Bang on you. Yes, go.
No, the question is, when you say seeing something for the first time all over again, do you have the benefit of hindsight that you know how great it is and you want to relive it again? Or if you go back in time to see it for the first time, you don't know how you're going to feel about it.
I don't know. We can decide that. That's a great question.
What was the intent? What was Terry's intent, do you think?
I think the intent was not having a knowledge of how great it is. So you're surprised again.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. But you know how great it is now, and you want to go back and experience the surprise.
You want to go back and experience, yes.
Right?
Yeah, or just experience the...
Okay, I got one.
Have the experience again. But my thing was, I thought we could do it, like, we could categorize it. So we could do,
right.
like, top three sports moments that you wish you could do, top three movies that you wish you could see again for the first time, that sort of thing.
So, like, for example, knowing how great the Mike Piazza home run was after 9/11.
Right.
I would like to go back to September 21st, 2001. Quick math. And if I go back to that night now, once I've gotten there, knowing what happened has been erased.
That's right.
And I'm going to experience it for the first
time. For the first time.
Got it. Okay.
Yes. Yes. You have the benefit of hindsight to
get
do
back
it.
To where you want to go.
Right.
Okay.
And it's like the idea of experiencing that elation again, or even disappointment or whatever, although I don't know why anybody would choose to do that again. So the idea is...
The spoiler would really ruin this. I hope Batman's nearby.
So I thought we could you know, do a quick one tonight and then maybe pick it up next week or something, you know, once the Super Bowl's over in the lull between football and baseball.
Sure.
I thought like I was thinking of the top sports ones that I would have.
Okay. Let's hear them.
Go on.
It would be
no, I had an interesting corollary on one of them, but
oh, okay.
It would be my first one would be Game 6, 1986 World Series, ball through Buckner's legs. Actually, I want to take it from I actually want the 10th inning on.
Okay.
So I want the two runs that Aguilera gives up.
Wow. Wow. You want that entire roller coaster.
And then I want the entire bottom of the 10th with Carter and Mitchell and Knight and Mookie. Yeah, I want the whole thing. I want Keith flying out to center field. I want, you know.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I want the whole thing. So that would be my first one.
Okay.
All right. Give me one.
You want me to give you one? I want Todd Pratt's home run
against the Diamondbacks.
Against the Diamondbacks. I was there that day. That was the greatest experience I ever had at a live sporting event.
That's fantastic.
So, yes, second only to that was the Sean Bates penalty shot in the playoffs against the Maple Leafs in 2002.
Which you were also at.
Which I was at. Those are the two that my two just unbelievable sports moments.
Right.
And I'll take those back, 1A and 1B.
All right, sir.
I'll
PJ,
that up.
PJ, do you have a sporting moment that you would love to see for the first time again? And if you say butt fumble, you are never allowed on this program again, ever.
I want to see the Jimmy Connors comeback at the U.S. Open.
Oh, excellent.
That's a good one.
No. I was at one of those matches, by the way.
Oh, my God.
I was.
Was it Aaron Bickstein?
I think it might have been. It wasn't the...
Wow.
He got to the finals, right?
Semis.
He got to the semis.
He lost to Curry in semis.
So I was at the round before the semis.
That was Crickstein.
I think that was. I think my mom had somehow gotten tickets from work.
Five sets.
Yeah, from the telephone company. And
it was
unbelievable. Only time I've been to the U.S. Open, it too, was that match.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a great
mind?
One.
I mean,
yeah,
you enough
totally.
Of a tennis fan to have lost your mind?
Absolutely. I was a big tennis fan in the 80s.
All right,
and
we were screaming. We were standing in the living room screaming.
Very big tennis
so
fan. I was a backroom guy, but
yeah,
I grew
but
up with Johnny Mack.
You were watching the old man fight and win.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
It was incredible.
Even if you weren't a tennis fan for that particular run,
yeah.
If you were a sports fan, you were totally into it.
No, yeah. Definitely. Listen, we're about to We have a live feed, so let me just do this. Go to www.rtusports.com, and you can subscribe to the podcast there on iTunes. It's also available on Stitcher. And check out the No Fuss and Feathers Roadshow. That's facebook.com/No Fuss and Feathers Roadshow. Jay Mafale of the Yayas and two other wonderful performers. They are the proud sponsors of this show. Thanks for checking us out, and please download the podcast. We'll see you next week after the Super Bowl. Enjoy the Super Bowl. All right.
So spoiler alert, the show keeps going. Yeah.
Let's finish up. Peach, do you have a second sporting one?
The Tyson Buster Douglas.
Oh, you are really good at this. Did you see that live? Did you see that live?
Because it would have been like...
It was like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Yeah, no, we that was either on HBO or that was a pay-per-view event, but we did see it live, yeah.
Don't forget, PJ was in college then, Cal. Who knows what was going on that night?
No, he wasn't.
I came home for it. I was in my dad's living room with my ex-brother-in-law.
Weren't you in college then, though?
Yeah, but I came home for the fight. Because somebody was getting it. It was somebody either had pay-per-view or was hosting a party here. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. That's an excellent one. Cal, what would be your second?
I gave you two. Do you want another one?
Yes.
You said you were 1A and 1B.
Okay.
All right, sir.
I'll give you another one. Why don't you give me another one of yours?
My second one is weird because they lost the game. But it was one of the most unbelievable, if not the most unbelievable moments I've ever had at a live sporting event, and that was Andy Chavez's catch.
Oh, yeah.
In Game 7. And again, experiencing it for the first time, not knowing that they're going to lose the game.
Right.
I have never... ever experienced anything like that. I literally thought Shea Stadium was going to fall down.
Wow.
We were in the upper deck, got seats that day with a buddy of mine. We didn't sit down the entire game. You know, 58,000 people, standing room only, did not sit down the entire game. And when he made that catch off Scott Rowland, it was one. It's probably one of the most incredible plays I've ever seen live. Because he had no business making that catch, Cal. There was no chance he was making that catch, and the moment and the thing and the upper deck was moving a lot. A good 6-8 inches side to side. And it was just you were hugging people and just you were up for an entire inning, like you just the whole next hour, you know, until they lost in the ninth. Wow. I would definitely choose to relive that. Just that moment was unbelievable.
All right, I'll give you one more.
Yep.
1999, last weekend of the season, Matt. This is actually 99 was a big year.
Yeah, you got the Pratt, right?
I'd like to relive a lot of that. But it was a Friday night, and we were watching the game on TV, and was it Leiter? I forget. I think it was Leiter pitched. And the Mets beat the Pirates 3-2 in extra innings. And they were two games out with three games to go.
Mm-hmm.
And from the moment they won that game...
Is that the wild pitch?
That was the last game on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
But the moment they won that game on the Friday night, and my buddy and I said, we're going tomorrow. We're going tomorrow, Saturday. We just, on the spur of the moment, we're going to this game. And we went the next night, and Rick Reed pitched a gem. They won nothing. And then we said, we're going tomorrow, too. And then we went back on Sunday. Sunday was the Melvin Mora scored on a wild pitch.
With Piazza at the plate.
With Piazza at the plate and a potential playoff berth on his bat.
Yep.
And he threw a wild pitch.
He never got to take a swing.
And the best part about that game was it was bat day. It was Santa.
I can't believe they use bat days anywhere.
Well, mini bats, but...
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, but the way they did it was good. They were giving the bats out on the way out of the stadium.
On the way out, exactly. Smart move.
Right? So that was just... It was just incredible. And then we had to wait to see what happened with Milwaukee that night.
Right.
In Cincinnati. And then the next night, of course, was the one-game playoff. So if I could relive that stretch of 4 days...
You that weekend. 4 days in October.
Friday to Monday. It was a point... We had only had 86.
Right. They hadn't been in the playoffs in 13 years. Yeah.
Right. So when that came
over... Eleven
years at that point.
Yeah.
So when that came around, it was just, you know, I was 25 years old. I had nothing else to do but go to these games. And
that's
it
fantastic.
It was awesome.
I love it. All right. I feel like we did a good job. This is something we could revisit, like the first, you know, the top three albums you wish you could listen to for the first time, or no? No good?
Food experiences.
Absolutely. No, this is a good top. This is a good. It's a good go-to.
The top three. The top three pieces of pizza. You wish
right?
you could. Right. Well, apparently things are going crazy over at the Bishop household. Look, I don't know if you heard. The pizza's pretty serious.
Pizza party.
It's pretty serious. It's the piano pizza. Bishop final unload.
Just a reminder that Amateuristic Linguist is opening for the Yayas at No Fuss, No Feathers. And just now, as I switched from meatball to donuts while you guys were talking, my wife comes over to me and announces that she's signing up for either a 5K or a triathlon or something. I mean, couldn't have been better timing. It's like, hey, you with the donut in your mouth, I'm signing up for a 5K tomorrow. You want to do it? And of course, I can't do that. So consider the salad.
Cal, final unload.
I think those bands are playing at Johnny Akronin's this weekend too, right?
Opening for Sister Shakedown.
Shockey's gonna be there. He's awesome. No, my thing is the stadium series, the NHL stadium series that everybody was so worried about watering down the product. It was an enormous success. It was great. I would rather not see it in New York for a few years, spread the wealth a little bit. But the two games that they played at Yankee Stadium were a big hit, and we had a blast at the game on Wednesday night. So, good job NHL. Good job.
And my final unload is simply Islanders. Man. Man.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. That's it. Man. That's all I got. Man.
Dot, dot, dot.
Johnny Ellipses. At Johnny Akronin tonight.
Hey, Isles, get out of my dreams. Nice.
Get out of my sight.